Well, I was preparing this message today, for today, and I was thinking about some struggles that we go through as individuals, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, some of these struggles, we can't see the future. You can't see what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes your faith may be tested. That's one of the reasons why I picked the opening hymn, "My faith looks up to thee," because when you're in doubt or when you're this cloud may be over you and you say, you know, I don't know where to turn. Well, there is really only one place to turn, right? And that's to Jesus. But this particular message, "The Only Sometimes Lonely Way," and, often I heard that song, "Only the Lonely," you know, that old song, "The Only the Lonely." Well, it's not that, but it's sort of similar to that. The only sometimes lonely way. And I know you already understand where this is going. But what does it really mean to totally give it over to God and His way? What does it really mean? So that's why this message is being proclaimed today, because I've been struggling with certain things. And I recognize that I'm not necessarily giving it over to God. I'm sort of consumed in myself, right? He said, oh, what's going to happen? How is it going to end? What's the solution? All those things. And my wonderful wife, Pearl, reminds me, turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. She said, you're a man of God. You need to turn it over to God. And she's absolutely right. We have touched on this in the past in our messages, but we need to be reminded of it frequently, right? How many here need to be reminded that we need to rely fully, completely, 100% on God, and especially when things are not necessarily going our way, right? It could be health issues, it could be financial issues, it could be whatever issue we face, because there are many and they are varied. And each one is unique to our own individual life, right? And some of them are in common with each other. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16, that's our opening text for this morning. It says, if you don't have time to open up there as I go along, just please write them down and reference them when you get home or at some time that's convenient for you. Also, you can watch it online. Lamont, can you turn down the mic just a little bit? I'm getting a little bit of ping, that's all. Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the," what? "The old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." So God is counseling them to what? Walk in the old ways. Walk in the standards of your faith. Walk in the platform of your faith. And you will find what? You will find rest unto your souls. So here I was, struggling, burdened, self-burdening, I call it, self-burdening, self-consuming, burdened with whatever I'm going through. And it says, walk in the good way, walk in the old path, and you will find rest unto your soul. This is the invitation that the Lord gives us, right? Ask this question. Ask for the old path. Ask for the good way. As you stand in the ways at the crossroads, we constantly come across different intersections that leads either to the road to eternal life or to the road that leads to eternal loss. Now, we were talking a little bit about this in Sabbath school class, about choices we make, how we relate to people, things like that. But we ask time and time again, Lord, I've come to another intersection. Which way should I go? Which way should I go? Do I stand on the old path? Or do I deviate onto a new path? The reason we need to ask these questions in ourselves to the Lord is because we need to be aware of our extreme danger that we may face every single day of our lives. Now, this is in line with not only us adults, it's in line with the children, it's in line with the youth, it's in line with everyone. Every day we have choices to make. Jane brought up this morning about what's happening in our schools and the things that they're bombarded with, right, in our schools. All different ideas in schools and, you know, you can do this and you can do that, you can be this and you can be that. But what is God's will for your life? What is God's way for your life? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Stop there for a second. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you may come to a crossroads in your life, and you may look at the different, we call, you know, the crossroads like this, right? You got one going this way, one going this way. And this way looks pretty good. It looks very enticing. The other way, it looks a little bit narrower, a little bit more confining, right? And you're enticed to go which way? The wide way, right? Because it seems that there's less trouble along the way. It seems that there's going to be smooth sailing, right? And what happens? It's the way of death. The way of death. Now, I cannot emphasize strongly enough that this is a dilemma that we face as individuals and as a body and as a people of God on this planet. If I go by my own senses, right, my own senses, smell, touch, vision, hearing, all those things, and by my human nature, which is sinful, because I'm born into this sinful nature, right, then I'm going to be in danger by thinking I'm going the right way by my senses. Something seems right. Something seems enticing. Something seems that it's going to be smooth sailing. Something seems that it's going to be a benefit in the long run. Well, every person in their own minds walks a path that is accommodating to their own mental perceptions. That's a pretty deep statement. I'm going to read it again. Every person in their own mind walks a path that is accommodating to their own mental perceptions. All right? That makes sense? That absolutely makes sense, because we're all individuals, right? We're all made up a certain way. We're all enticed by certain things. We all are enamored by certain things, right? And it seems so right. It seems so right sometimes. None of us need to deceive ourselves that just because it seems right to me, it is right. It seems right. I had to stop there. It seems right. Is it right? It is a deception that if something seems right, that it is right. That's not always the case, right? We need to choose a different path that seems right to me. We need to choose a path that, say, let's see, David chose. Each one of us needs to carefully examine what is written here in this particular text. In Psalm 119:30, and David here is saying, I have chosen the way of what? The way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, we talked about the Ten Commandments this morning. Ten Commandments are what? They're truth. They're God's truth. Do we follow? And I had a good conversation with Lamont. I said, are we saved? He asked, and he was saying this in a sort of rhetorical way. He said, are we saved by doing the Ten Commandments? And I said, no, we're definitely not saved by doing the Ten Commandments. And he said, absolutely right. And we're not saved by doing the Ten Commandments, are we? We're not saved by that. But when we do the Ten Commandments out of a heart that's been changed by Christ, then what does that do? It's the law of liberty. It brings refreshing to your soul. You're not walking in those pathways that lead to destruction. Right? God is good, amen? David said, thy judgments have I laid before me. God's judgments are not our judgments. That's clear, isn't it? I am so glad that God's judgments are not my judgments. God's ways are not our ways. They are higher. They are a path that does not make sense to us in our senses on this planet sometimes. David has experienced enough to say in Psalm 119, I have chosen the way of truth. Did David always follow the truth? Absolutely not. He stumbled. He fell. He fell drastically, infamously, right? Proverbs 6:23, and this is his son Solomon, saying this, for the commandment is a what? It's a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of corrections are the way of life. Now, we have to stop there for a second. Because who here really loves correction? You know, come on. Is it really something you're looking forward to? Right? If I were to stand up here and say something publicly that you shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing that, you know, are we looking forward to that? No. We're not looking forward to any of that. But it's interesting. It says here the commandments is a lamp. So what's that connotate? What's that giving us the impression of? Well, there's darkness. There's gross darkness in the land. There's gross darkness in our hearts at times because we falter in our faith, right? But if you take a little lamp, even a little candle, and you light it in a pitch black room, the light, even just a little candle, just lights up the whole room somehow, right? It's not a big bright light, but it's a really soothing light, right? Isn't that God's way? Soothing. You know, he wants us to come to him. He begs us to come to him. His mercy draws us to him. That's what a little candle does in the darkness. Who here likes to be in the pitch black darkness? Well, most people don't. There's some people that do, right? But I'm just saying, like, generally speaking, a lot of people don't like the pitch black where you're, when you close your eyes, you just actually can't see anything at all. There's no light at all. But the light is the commandment is a lamp to our lives. And that's what makes the difference. Now let's look at the words of Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 30, and the words of Jesus. And these are interesting words of Jesus when you really think about it. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So Jesus, in his human form, relied on who? His Father for everything. If we are going to choose a path that is the way of life, it has to do with the commandments of God and the law. It has something to do with that. It is the path of reproof sometimes. It's the path of correction. Yes, even redirection. So you ever been redirected in your life? You're going a certain direction and God says, no, you're not. You're going this way. Ever have that happen to you? I have. If I choose the path of truth, it is the path that is not the way of my own perception. Many times it's not. Because I would perceive something, I should go down this path. That looks like that's going to lead to God. And it doesn't. My path is to accept God's ways and not my own. That's the choice I need to make. Am I prepared to walk that path? To ask of God, show me the old paths. Contrary to this world's view, by the way, God's way, the old path, is the only way. Right? God's way is the only way. It really is. The title of this message is The Only Sometimes Lonely Way. God's way is the only way. The only way. And when we choose his way, we at times find ourselves alone. Because we choose not to go the pathway of the world. Right? Not that we're alone in the sense that we have no brothers or sisters of like mind and all that. I don't mean that. But in the world, we are alone, right? Even if you understand the concept of the remnant people of God, they are alone on this planet. They're pilgrims on this planet. They're sojourners where they're journeying through this world, right, of all kinds of paths, all kinds of enticements, all kinds of allurements, but they're on a journey heavenward. That's where they're going. That's where they're headed. They're on a journey. Show me the old paths. And sometimes God's way is a lonely way. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life. If you look at a child growing up, and oftentimes the mother bear or the daddy bear will correct that child because they're protecting that child from themselves, right? They're protecting them from the wayward ways of this world. And that is the role of mama bear and papa bear, right? Jesus illuminated that path for us, and that is the blessing that we have before us, that Jesus led the way. We follow in Jesus' footsteps, and sometimes, yes, Jesus carries us. And like that poem does, Footprints in the Sand, you know the story. This person's lamenting the fact that he was alone at times. God was with him, and then one time he wasn't with him, then he's with him again. And what did Jesus say? I was with you always. I carried you. There's only one footprints in the sand at that point. It's my footprints, right? That's the poem. And it's the truth. Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that what? Leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now they're saying multitudes and multitudes from the creation of this world up to this day, those who have lived and died, have gone to the road that leads to destruction, because many there be which go on that road, right? That lead to destruction, because it's enticing to their perceptions. It looks good. It's a wonderful place to be, right? Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is enjoying their life. How come I can't enjoy my life? Why do I have to be stringent in my beliefs? Why do I have to be, you know, not doing the things that everyone else is doing? They look so happy. They look so content. Well, Matthew 7:13 talks about the straight gate, and this links up to Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Proverbs 7:14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice that word few there? If you're not part of the majority in this situation, in this example, you're on good ground. Right? You're on good ground, because few there be that find it. Talking about a few, what's that word connotate to you? Few. Remnant. Right? The remnant people of God. So the straight gate, few people find it. What is a straight? Not straight, but straight. Straight. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look at the Strait of Belle Isle. Everyone's sort of familiar with the Strait of Belle Isle, right, in Newfoundland? It's a narrow waterway that separates Labrador from the island of Newfoundland. It is narrowest at this point than any body of water between Labrador and the island of Newfoundland. You could compare it to a bottleneck, as it were. The same idea is conveyed in the Bible definition of the straight gate. It is a bottleneck. Everyone has to come together and go through single file through that gate, okay? So you're not going arm in arm with a group of people through the straight gate, right? You're going through singular. You're lining up, and you're going through. You're making a willing choice to go through and follow Jesus. It's a way of thinking different to everyone else's thinking, isn't it? You know, the majority, my mother used to say, talking about different things of my faith when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, and she says, well, you know something, Steve, the majority can't be wrong. And I said, well, guess what? They are. But that's what I said at the time. That's what I said. They are wrong. I said, not that they know they may be wrong, but they are wrong because the Bible says it's a narrow pathway, right? And, you know, as you walk through, you walk a narrow pathway thereafter. It has to do with the way that we think along biblical lines of understanding. We are in this constant need of asking again and again, is this the way of the Lord? This is the way our life is. This is the way we walk. This is where our journey is. We need to ask these questions every day. The way I'm thinking and functioning, is it God's way? The things I choose every single day, is it God's way? Whatever it is this the way of the Lord? The only way you can be sure is to humbly ask God to prepare our hearts for His way. In other words, have thine own way, Lord. You know that hymn, right? Have thine own way. I was going to use that for a closing hymn, but I picked something else. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are what? The potter, right? And I am the clay. I am a human being, and I need to be molded by you, God. Am I really, honestly, in the depth of my heart, prepared to go off every way which is not the direct instruction of God's word? If I'm at that point in my life that I'm willing to go off in every direction, then I need to get right with God. That's the bottom line. I need to get right with God, right? Now, in our study on Tuesday night, we've been studying the Good News Bible study most Tuesday evenings for the last number of months. Now, these studies have opened to us God's way, the very good news way, right? God would have us to implement the things we have learned in our lives as we study God's word, to enter the straight gate, the narrow pathway, make changes where needed. He will grant us the power to do so. He always will. May we all come very meekly and humbly before the Lord and recognize our great need. And that's a challenge sometimes, because sometimes we're not all that meek, and sometimes we're not all that humble, right? That sort of rears up in ourselves every now and then. But Jesus asks us to come to him in humility and in servitude. That's not a bad word, is it? In today's vernacular, it's a horrible word, you know? How dare you become a servant? I mean, that's below me. That's how people think, right? Jesus gives the remedy of our great need. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the path of life that Solomon spoke about. You can see how those texts from Psalms and Proverbs link perfectly with this one, that Jesus personifies this path himself. I want to understand what that path is, don't you? Are you walking that pathway? Are you walking that pathway? And I had to ask that of myself. Every question I ask up here is maybe, you may feel it's directed directly at you, but it's directed at me too. So just keep that in mind. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I like that. Because even though I struggled with faith, even though I felt myself consumed in this, there's no answer to this. He's the author. He gave me my faith. And he's the finisher. He's going to finish that faith. Right? That's the beautiful blessing of it all. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, stop there. This joy that we're going to discover now, that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joy and cross, those two words go together? Would you think joy and cross, if someone to say for you, you need to take up your cross, is that like a joyful experience? Well, it says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm going to stop there for a second because we need to talk about that a little bit. When, you good Bible students, when was the plan of salvation implemented? Before creation, in heaven. This cross that this text is talking about, that he, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, this joy that was set before him, this joy began in heaven. This plan of salvation began in heaven. This is the joy that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it was joy that they could set forward this plan of salvation to redeem us, to redeem the lost, to redeem those who have floundered along the way, and they could find their way again because of Jesus. That was the joy set before him. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As Jesus personifies the way to the heavenly kingdom and to our heavenly Father, this is what he does. He sets that path straight. He sets that, walks that straight pathway that leads to the Father. Well, what was the path he chose? The cross. That's the path. He chose the cross. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus here, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus mapped out what was right for us. He mapped it out for us. So we don't have to walk that pathway alone. We don't have to flounder around and be despondent and despair because we don't have an answer right away. Jesus has the answer. He walked that path before us. He opened that gate for us, that straight, narrow gate. The gate is there. He says, Stephen, walk through that straight gate. Howard, walk through that straight gate. Jen, walk through that straight gate. Ron, walk through that straight gate. I can list everyone here. Everyone watching online, walk through the straight gate. That's the road to life and life eternal. If it is the way of Jesus, it is the way of obedience. It's the way of correction and sometimes redirection. This is what many Christians of today are not willing to pursue. They don't want to hear about correction. They don't want to hear about obedience. And they certainly don't want to hear about redirection. Right? There is a way that has been laid out for us, and it is a different way from what I'm comfortable with sometimes. I have to keep asking, Lord, how do I deal with this and that situation? Jesus in human form obeyed the requirements of God. And Jesus did it at times with tears, right? Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, sometimes we read it over and we understand, we sort of understand what would happen there. But boy, our salvation actually hung in the balance in the Garden of Gethsemane, not the cross. By the time the cross had happened, or was going to happen, it was already decided. Satan was already vanquished in the Garden of Gethsemane. You understand that, right? Because he struggled in human form. He struggled. But he had to take on the sins of the whole world. The whole world. And in his human form, he recoiled in horror of what he was about to face. And he pleaded with God in his heart and his soul on the ground in that garden. He said, "Take this cup from me, Lord, if it's possible. But only if it's your will." And we understand that angels came to comfort him because the disciples had fallen asleep. They fell asleep on the job. And he was truly alone. And the angels came and comforted him. And he made that decision that he was going to go through it. And we are here because of that day. Amen? Hebrews 5:8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." If Jesus asked for guidance, then should my example be the same? That should be your example, right? "He would have gone in the way of death. Let us each walk the old paths from God. Let us plead and yes, even cry to God for his divine direction." Each one of us needs to do that. If you're struggling, cry to God. If you're wondering, cry to God. If you're seeking and searching, cry to God. In aeronautics, a plane takes off, and if the path is set 1 degree out, you end up the wrong way. Just 1 degree. Well, an airplane takes off, and they set it, the compass or whatever they use, the traction or tracking or whatever, 1 degree. They go way, by the time they think they're at their destination, they are way off. They're not even close. And that happens. The Mount Erebus disaster occurred on the 28th of November, 1979, when Air New Zealand Flight 901 flew into Mount Erebus on Ross Island, Antarctica, killing all 237 passengers and 20 crew aboard. In a subsequent inquiry to the crash, it was discovered that the computer readings for the flight path were wrong. Just wrong. And they just flew right into the mountain. And because someone had put into their flight path a couple of degrees wrong. And he just went right into the mountain. I mean, 237 passengers. And the pilots didn't know they were off course. You know why? Because they found a camera, a video camera or something, maybe it's just a camera, of one of the passengers who had died. And they got the film and processed it. And the time date stamp on it was about 2 minutes before it went into the mountain. And there was a picture of a beautiful sky and the wing on the right-hand side of the plane. Everything was as normal 2 minutes before it went into the mountain. And because they were off by 1 or 2 degrees, they were way off. There is a way which seems right when we start off, but it is not the way. The plain description of Jesus' life is what we need to be prepared to follow. 1 John 2:6. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So walk as Jesus walked. Walked the pathway of Jesus. Total submission, just like Jesus. Learning by the things which he suffers. If you have your own way, do you suffer? Sometimes we like to go a certain way. But to go in God's way sometimes means suffering. Jesus came right to that point where he was walking to Gethsemane, as I mentioned. And he was at the crossroads, as it were. And Job met that same experience, didn't he? Job 23:10 says, But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, you know, I don't know who here has faced things like that Job went through, but we all sort of face certain aspects of Job. I'm not sure if everyone has faced everything that Job faced. But that at the end of the day, he was a man after God's own heart too, wasn't he? He just left it all in God's hands. People were trying to get him to turn away from God. His wife and his family, his friends, all of them wanted him to turn away because they were just looking upon this suffering soul. You know, when you're looking at someone suffering and suffering and suffering and suffering, what does your mind say? Well, this person can only take so much, you know. He said, I don't want that person. I can't even stand looking at him suffering anymore. Right? And you want it to stop. Jesus was tried, and the way to come forth as gold is to be tried in the God's narrow pathway of life. If I set my mind along this willing submission, I know I am on the right path. You don't have to question what path you're on if you're on God's pathway. Listen to this wonderful quote I found, and it's from This Day with God. It's a devotional book. It says, frequently the very best evidence that we can have that we are in the right way is that the least advance costs us effort and that darkness shrouds our pathway. It has been my experience that the loftiest heights of faith we can only reach through darkness and clouds. You think that's true? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, it was when I'm in my darkest hour, that's when I knew God was closest to me. All right, I think most people can actually testify to that. To advance along God's path, there will be times of suffering, there will be trials, there will be correction. A correcting of my own ways of thinking. Sometimes I think things that are not God's way. And God knows that. I know that. And I'm aware of it. But it's an apparent contradiction, isn't it? If we are prepared to do that it says, what it says about God's way, we'll find rest to our souls. But yet, we're going to be corrected. And we're going to be in a cloud sometimes. But yet, it's not really a contradiction. It's God's refining fire, right? He wants us to follow him. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to know what it's like. You know, and when we get to heaven, even angels in heaven have not gone through what we've gone through. Right? They're looking at us and they're saying, wow. Like, wow. I can't imagine. You know. We're a spectacle. These things are a part of us. These things of clouds and despair and all that. Because we live in an old sinful world. And then our scripture reading, Philippians 3, 9 and 10. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death. That is the path where there will be a fellowship with Jesus. Okay? I'm going to say amen. And sometimes we say, do I really need to say amen to that? You know, the pathway of the fellowship of sufferings. Who here or who is watching online has not suffered in some form in this world? No matter what, always choose to walk in the old path to God's way, that path where you'll find truth and rest for our weary souls. We are pilgrims, as sojourners in this pathway that we tread on this world. And there will be suffering, and there will be trials, and there will be temptations, and there will be all those things. But just remember, God's way will win out. God's way, the narrow pathway, the old foundations. Walk that narrow pathway. I'm going to close with another amazing quote I found from this magazine entitled The Bible Echo. And just listen to it because it's absolutely amazing. No man, when we say man, we're talking about people here, no man stumbles into heaven. Right? I got to stop there and then I'll read the quote. So, recently I found out that my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. And he's 75 years old. And my sister sent me a message, a real joyful message. She said, you know, he's accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And I said to us in reply, amen. Amen to that, you know. But it got me to wondering, you know, I'm not talking about yours. I'm just saying in general sense, you know, a lot of times we wait to the very last minute, you know. And because we're living our own lives, right? We're living our own lives the way we feel that we can live our own lives outside of God. And for George, it was a blessing because he was given an opportunity. But some won't have that opportunity, right? Some won't have that opportunity. They won't live that long. This day, their life might be required of them. And then they won't have that opportunity. That opportunity is passed at that point. But thank God there is people who can turn to God in those moments, right? Absolutely. No man stumbles into heaven. No man goes there blindfolded. If he will take time to consider, every man may know whether he is in the straight and narrow path or in the broad road that leads to death. Let every soul inquire. Now, here's a bunch of questions coming up. So I'm going to ask these questions of myself. And as I read them, ask them of yourself, okay? Let every soul inquire, is my heart renewed by the grace of Christ? Is it transformed by the Holy Spirit? Have I repented of my sins and confessed them? Are my sins forgiven? Am I a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ? Am I willing to make an entire consecration of every hour that remains to do service for the Savior? He gave his life for me. He is risen from the dead and has brought life and immortality to light, that I might be a partaker of the divine nature. Will I purify my soul by obeying the truth and becoming complete in him? These are all heart questions. These are all profound, deep, heart-searching questions. And as I read that quote, I understood that the writer was, you know, examining their life before the throne of God and understood that the old pathway, this narrow pathway, the straight gate, was the way to the salvation of their soul. Amen? May that be our goal, to be complete in Jesus, who set the example and walked the straight and narrow pathway, which is the only way that leads to eternal life. Amen? And close off on a personal note, I understand that, you know, I've been on this earth for almost 64 years, and I've walked a few roads that were not the narrow pathway, and I walked a few roads that were led to death, led to destruction. But thanks be to my God that I no longer am walking on that road. You know, if you find yourself veering off, get yourself back. Ask God to grab a hold of you and bring you back into that pathway. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your example. We thank you for your life. We thank you for walking that pathway before us, that narrow pathway that through that straight gate. We're grateful, Father, that you traveled that road before us, that you set the example for us, and that we will not be walking alone when we walk that narrow pathway. You are with us. You are holding us. You are holding our hand. You are guiding us no matter what happens on that path. Help us to not be doubtful, Lord. Help us to not question your faith. Help us not question your amazing love. And above all else, Lord, may we surrender our hearts to you each and every day. There's someone listening online or someone in this congregation who has been impressed by the Spirit of the living God in their hearts this morning. I ask that you will draw especially close to them. Draw especially close to them and help them to know that you love them with an everlasting love. Help them to know that you are there for them no matter what they're going to face in the future. We're thankful, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who is indeed the author and finisher of our faith. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.